We are talking about the seven spirits of God, yes? Okay. I'm trying to get you to understand that we need these seven spirits in order to operate the kingdom. We're trying to operate in the kingdom with natural strength, and it's failing. How do I know it's failing? Because the enemy is gaining ground. Nobody wants to be a failure. Nobody wants to fail. But we're losing ground. Well, Pastor, what makes you say we're losing ground? Well, how about this? I've got an openly gay man running for presidency of the United States who fully intends to tell churches what they can and can't do. We are losing ground when the government starts to dictate to us who we have to marry, how we have to marry them. And yet, we allow every other religion that comes into the United States to fully function and operate the way they want to. We're losing ground. More and more babies are dying. We're losing ground. You know how I know we're losing ground? Try to find a church on a Wednesday night. When I was on vacation last year, Marjorie and I had to search to find a church open on a Wednesday night. Some of the biggest churches in Florida are closed on Wednesday night. They do a Sunday service, and that is it. How do I know we're losing ground? Because people call me and they say, can you marry us? Our church won't marry us. Can you counsel us? Our church will not counsel us. We're losing ground because we're trying to operate in the natural, and we need the seven spirits of God to come upon us so that we can operate in the spiritual realm where we were created to operate. I've talked to you about the Spirit of the Lord, the first spirit. That's the spirit of empowerment. That's the spirit that gives you the ability to do things outside of yourself, outside of human limitations. You can see things that the eyes ain't supposed to see in the natural realm. You have strength that goes beyond the understanding of man. Had some people over yesterday. And they started telling me how tired they were. I said, shut up. Don't get that on me. No. I said, that's a spirit. Stop operating on your own strength and find God's strength and operate there. I don't want to know about how tired you are. You don't have to be tired. People think I'm crazy. I have a different reality. I'm not crazy. My reality is just different than yours. We're now talking about the second two spirits, and I've lumped these two together, although they're very distinct, and that's the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of wisdom. They are two very different spirits. For the spirit of knowledge is a compilation. I got that out, right? I smart. Okay. It's a one of those things. Of information. That's knowledge. You get information concerning something, and that is knowledge. The devil has the knowledge of the Bible. He knows everything it says. He studied it for 2,000 years. He knows it word for word. He's accumulated knowledge concerning it. Right? Many of you have gathered knowledge about what it is you do for a vocation. Right? When it comes to running heavy equipment, Robert Melvin knows some stuff that you might not know. Right? I'm not going to get into a heavy equipment operating contest with Robert Melvin. I know better. But there's a few contests he'll tell you about me that he don't want to get in. You see, he acquired knowledge in particular areas that interested him. Right? And so, you want to run a Dollar General store, go see Roberto. He's accumulated a lot of knowledge in that field and he knows what he's doing. Jessica, you stay out of the Dollar General stores. I'm not going to tell you, Robert's here. Roberto's here. I can't even tell you what she does in the Dollar General stores. He knows? And she still gets away with it? It's legal. I don't know how she does it. All right. Have you ever been around somebody who has so much knowledge and they can't get out of their own way? I have quite a few friends and acquaintances that are absolute geniuses. They would blow any IQ test out of the water. They have so much information. And yet you can compare them to a rock and be okay. Wisdom, on the other hand, is the understanding or ability to do something with the knowledge. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is being able to do something with the knowledge that you've received. Now, they're spirits. Okay? So we have this feeling or understanding that we can go get knowledge. You cannot go get knowledge. Now, God expects you to do your part, but if he doesn't do his part, there will be no knowledge. That's why you can read the Bible and not understand a single word you read, and tell me if there's anybody here who hasn't done that. You read it, you don't have a clue what you read. Because you read it in the natural, you didn't read it in the spiritual. You never ask God for the spirit of knowledge. You never ask God for the spirit of wisdom. You just went in the natural trying to operate in the kingdom in the natural and it didn't work. Or you get sleepy, real sleepy. You're going to sleep now. You've read two lines. Am I the only one? Okay, all right. So I'm trying to get you to understand, and we're going to go over some scripture today, and maybe we'll finish the spirit of wisdom so that We can go on to the next spirit. I wouldn't count on it, but we're going to see what happens. Yeah. But I'm trying to get you to understand that God has to give it to you. If God doesn't give it to you, I call it the God factor. There's a God factor in everything that we do that we as Christians are the first to discount. Right? Oh. You want to know how you discount it? When God wants somebody to do something and you look at them and say they're not able. As a pastor, I've done that bunches of times. I did that with a praise leader that God said to me, "That's your praise leader." And I looked at God and I said, "God, she doesn't have the ability to do that." I'm lucky I didn't get smacked. Because I went operating the kingdom in the natural and I took out the God factor. And the God factor says, "I'll call you to do what I want you to do. And when you become a willing a vessel and when you're willing to do that, then what I'm going to do is equip you and empower you to do the thing that I called you. It's not on your ability, it's on my ability." And why are we so silly that, good word, censor, or silly, Why are we so silly that we discount the God factor and we judge them based on what we know they can do? I got in a huge fight with God over the paintings in the Fellowship Hall. If you go up on the wall, there's like 8 paintings up and down the Fellowship Hall. And I got in a huge fight with God over that. He said, "Get so-and-so to do those paintings." I said, "Have you lost your mind? What are you thinking? 8 paintings? God, this person will never finish one. I know." And you see, I took out the God factor. And God yelled at me and he said, "8 paintings, tell her to paint 8 paintings on the wall. Tell her I said so." I'm like, "Oh no. This will take 8 years." And that's if I finish them. So I go and I say, "God said to paint 8 paintings on the wall." "Of what?" "I don't know." What color?" "I don't know." "Just go do it." She made me 8 of the most beautiful paintings and finished them in record time because the Spirit of the Lord got on her and it changed everything that I knew about this person. I watched a transformation before my very eyes because the God factor kicked in and God said. And here I was judging based on what I knew, based on my limited understanding. No, there's a God factor. It's a spirit and it changes everything. So we're talking about the spirit of knowledge, and I'm going to start with the first scripture before I run out of time. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get one in. I started to look at the scriptures that I had picked out weeks ago. I got to the first 2 words and I closed the book. I said, "All right, you're talking to me. I ain't got to look. I hear you." Opposition arose. There's always an opposition to wisdom. Because those around you that don't have it oppose it because they don't understand it. And so they try to compute it in their little logical brains and then tell you no. I've got an employee in Fort Lauderdale. He's an amazing man. He can do things that I've not seen anybody else do. And when it came time to hire him, now, I don't know about y'all, but I get counsel. You hear me? Yes, I'm the counselor, so the counselor has enough sense to go get counsel. I don't go running around making decisions on my own. I go try to find experts in the field, and I talk to them, and I get counsel so I have understanding. Because that's what God said to do. How many have taken a new job without counsel? Don't raise your hand. Now, counsel isn't to tell you what to do. Counsel is for you to see better. So when I got counsel about hiring this guy 20 years ago, I might add, they told me, absolutely not, you should not hire him. Don't hire him. Even my lovely wife told me not to hire him. There have been a few times I wish I listened to her. And all my colleagues said, don't hire him. Because, see, that's a big decision when you hire somebody. You're messing with somebody's life. You can't take that lightly. You want to be sure that it's a good fit. You want to be sure that it's going to work out to the best of your ability. And so I got all the counsel, and then I made the decision, and it was a wise decision. Wise, I tell you. Because God allowed me to see something in him that nobody else could see. It was a spirit. But yet opposition arose. And I thought of all the times that I made a decision and opposition arose. I remember when I was buying a house. And people came out of nowhere to tell me I couldn't afford to buy that house. Opposition arose. But it was a wise decision. The house was $100,000. It's now $500,000. It was a wise decision. Not only that, I've had a place to live. That's another wise decision, having a place to live. But the opposition arose. When I wanted to get married to Marjorie, opposition arose, and there was a literal line. I mean a literal line. I'm telling you, a single file line of people who came to her to tell her, do not marry me. It was a bad decision. I walked up on the line one day. And you would think that since I came up on the line would shut up, but the line didn't shut up. Right in front of me. You can't marry him. He has no future. He has no education. He has no money. He has no... But God showed Marjorie something. The Spirit of the Lord came upon her and showed her something they didn't see. Can I tell you what that was? I see we're going to add to the list of the people I throw out of here. Oh, she said something sweet? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you what you said. I figured you chopped me, but you didn't. Okay, I apologize. I'm keeping you forever. Something so silly, so stupid, so irrelevant, so minor, but yet God showed her something in something so simple that only she could see. My father wanted me to go get the mail out of the mailbox. And I put my shoes on to go outside to get the mail. Remember this? I remember everything. And she said, who would do that? They would just go out and get the mail. There's no laziness in you. And that's what God showed her, that there was no laziness in me. And although I didn't have anything, and although I didn't have an education, and although I worked a minimum wage job, she looked at me and said, there's no laziness in him. And so God showed her that, and it eased everybody's concerns. Because she knew that I was going to give it a shot. I was going to go for it. I was going to work hard. But the opposition still arose. There's two people in life you can't afford to be around. Those are the ones that come against you, and that are the ones that are the yes men. A yes man will destroy you as much as somebody who will come against you will. Don't agree with me just because I'm the bishop. Don't agree with me just because I'm the pastor. Don't agree with me for any reason unless you agree with me. If you don't agree with me, I would value your honest opinion. I am going to listen to it. I'm going to discern it. I may go with it and I may not go with it, but I sure do appreciate hearing it. So opposition arose. And you think back to the woman with the oil. And the prophet Elisha had told her to get the vessels of oil, go borrow them from the neighbor, get all you can get, a test of faith. But he said, faith up, don't just get a few. Go get you some containers of oil. Now go in your house and shut the door. Are you hanging around wisdom, or do you need to shut the door? Are there some people in your life that you need to shut the door on because they don't have the spirit of wisdom on them? Everybody can't speak into my life. So sorry, you have to show me you're wise first. I want to hang around people that are wise, godly people that are wise, who can give me wisdom. So opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Sicilia and Asia, who begin to argue with Stephen. I love this next part. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. You know, I used to have to write out my sermons word for word. And I would stand behind this pulpit and not move because my words were there. And I would justify it as if God gave it to me there, then there ain't no point in me not reading it here. And that's how I preached. And then God showed me something one day. He said, I wasn't planning to preach. I was at service, and we were doing a worship service in my house. And last song comes on, and God says, I want you to preach. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. Worship night. We're going to worship you. I'm going to sing loud. We're going to do this. He said, no, I want you to preach. But God, I don't have nothing ready. I don't have no word for word thing. I'm not ready. But it's the Spirit of God that came upon me that got me up there and I preached. When the college came in a couple of years ago, they had an alumni meeting here at the church for the weekend. It was quite magnificent. They gave me a few spots to speak in over the weekend, you know, an hour here and an hour there, and it was nice. And then I come into church, and they said, our speaker's not here. We need you to cover his spot. Okay. When's the spot? From 9 to 1. 9 to 1? That's 4 hours. Yes, I can preach for 4 hours. And when I was done with 4 hours of preaching to a group of doctors, and I'm talking about a large group of PhD graduates in theology, they all said, teach us some more. They recognized wisdom. They had knowledge. And I showed them the knowledge in a way they had never seen it before. But the Spirit will give it to you as you speak. And that's what happened with Stephen. At the end of the day, you can't argue with wisdom. Do you know why? Wisdom has results. I say God is in the results. Wisdom has results. Now I'm going to do two just so you can't say I did one. I want to talk to you about Solomon a little bit. I'm going to read the first scripture so I can say I got two. I'm so thankful God gave me a voice today. Praise God. I had Pastor Linda on standby, and she was ready to go, and of course she preaches phenomenally. But like she said, she told everybody, don't worry, because he doesn't like to give a place for the devil. I'm not too proud to sit down and call her up. I just am going to fight with letting the devil win if I do. I'd rather come up when we plan it, not when the devil plans it. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding. That means a vast amount of understanding. How'd he get it? God gave it to him. How'd he get it? How you gonna get it? If God doesn't give it to you, you're not gonna get it. As measureless as the sand on the seashore, have you ever just contemplated a surgeon, a brain surgeon. And I always have this saying, I say a brain surgery is not hard for a brain surgeon. Right? But to us in here, and I know everybody, and I know there are no brain surgeons in here. To us, we would be lost. Not a clue. Yes? Where do you think they got that ability to cut into somebody's brain? God gave it to them. God gave it to them. For you. So that if you need them, they're there and they can operate in their gift. We've made I have 2 minutes for a rabbit trail, don't I? We've made a habit, a very, very bad habit, a very bad habit of condemning doctors. And I got some news for you. You're touching God's anointed, and he said not to do that. You think of the anointed as the one who brings the word, and yes, they are anointed. When Pastor Ron gets up here and he's in the house tonight, it's good to see Christina and Pastor Ron and his wife. But that's not the only anointed. Every doctor has got the anointing of God on them, or they could not operate in that function. And you better be careful, because you come against them and you curse yourself. I've been in Lake Placid for 8 years, and all I've heard is how crummy the hospitals is and how crummy the doctors are. And I'm so thankful I didn't listen. And I went and I found out for myself, and I found the greatest medical family doctor I've ever seen, Dr. Daniel Montero. Go see him. He's the best. He is knowledgeable beyond any knowledge of any doctor I have ever seen, and he cares on top of that. And I've been able to get treated on the weekend when their offices are closed, because he answers. I just found a phenomenal dermatologist, Jennifer Wolf, Dr. Wolf. She got a magnifying glass and went over my whole body. Made sure I was okay. Amazing doctor. Dr. Oxer is a phenomenal dentist. Phenomenal. And I'm basing it on the doctors I've had in Fort Lauderdale. They're better. Let me take you to Fort Lauderdale and find out what it's like to wait 6 months to get an appointment. I can get appointments in this town. That was a rabbit trail. Prayer team, come up. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. Why is that important to know? Because wisdom comes with motive. Right? If you grow up and you want to be wise so that you can make money, so that you could buy a big house, God's not so interested in that. But wisdom came to Solomon because Solomon was a kid. And he was faced with a daunting task that he didn't think he was capable of doing. And so he went to God, as I shared with you in James. And he said, God, grant me wisdom. Not riches, wisdom. But riches come with wisdom, just so you know. because you know what to do with knowledge when you have wisdom. So you, anyway, leave that alone. Grant me wisdom that I might govern your people. That word your is very important. What's your motive for having wisdom? So that you could be a blessing to the kingdom of God? That's a great motive. I say, God, grant me wisdom that I might be a blessing to the kingdom of God. That I might be a blessing to your people. That I might help them. That I might lead them. I might guide them. I might show them. I might teach them. I know a lot of pastors. Some of them come out of seminary and have no clue who Jesus Christ is. They preach about a guy they read about. Wisdom will give you the ability to not know about him, but to know him. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you, God, that I got through two scriptures. So they can't make fun of me, God. There's a few more to go. I'm just getting warmed up. Thank you, Father, for giving us wisdom. We seek wisdom. We ask you for wisdom, God. We ask you for the ability to have knowledge. We ask you for the ability to have wisdom, God. These are spirits that you give us. And Lord, we want all that you have for us. So in the mighty name of Jesus, we open up our minds and our hearts to be able to receive. And you said the first step in getting wisdom is to get wisdom. To want to get wisdom, to understand that you could use some more wisdom. So we thank you, Father, for this in the mighty name of Jesus as we lift up your name, thanking you. Amen. If you want prayer for any reason, come up and see these fine people up here and they will lead you in prayer. And God will have the last say.